Hello and welcome to this week's edition of In Accord. The headquarters office is a hive of activity in preparation for the spring holy days. Many of us will be traveling. As for Marjolaine and me, if all goes as planned, by the time you watch this edition, we will already be in the Central African nation of Cameroon, where, God willing, we will be observing the Passover, the night to be much observed, and the first day of unleavened bread. We will go on from there to Togo. We'll spend a week in Côte d'Ivoire, and we'll make a brief visit to South Africa for me to speak in Johannesburg and for us to visit with our friends Tim and Valerie Waddle, who serve that congregation. Doug Horchak will travel to Nigeria and Ghana. The Franks and the Taylors will visit members in Argentina and Uruguay. The Kylos will travel to Alberta in Canada. The Myers will travel to New Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania, and then on to Monterrey, Mexico. And Dave and Marguerite Evans will travel to Oregon and Washington. My wife and I just returned March 9th from a 10-day trip to Martinique in the French West Indies. We visit our brethren there once a year, and we spend two Sabbaths. We've been serving this group for almost 25 years, so they've become very good friends. Of course, we also enjoy the experience of island living for a few days as well. The beaches are lovely, the lush mountains are stunning, and the Caribbean water warm and clear. The spicy cuisine, much of it fish-based, is absolutely delicious. During our time in Martinique, we had one Friday night Bible study and two Sabbath services, with much time for fellowship. Unfortunately, my schedule dictated that we visit during Carnival and Mardi Gras, which are celebrated with lots of dancing parades, a good bit of drinking, and, we were told, less and less clothing being worn. We had to stay off the road for 3 days. The traffic was so snarled. The second Sabbath, we enjoyed a delicious traditional Martinique meal after the service, which included freshly caught fish, fresh squeezed fruit juices of kinds we don't know in the United States, and freshly harvested coconut milk. We very much enjoyed our visit in Martinique. It was wonderful to see our brethren there and to spend time together. Now, because of the onerous requirements of the Rwandan government for our church association to receive legal recognition, I had to leave the day after we returned from Martinique for an 8-day trip to Rwanda. Many of you have asked about progress there and have mentioned that you're praying for the success in this process. I have mentioned earlier that one of the requirements for recognition is that the president of the association must have a degree in theology, which means, of course, neither Jesus nor the apostles will be able to legally start a church in Rwanda. Thankfully, I have a degree in theology. The Rwandan Governance Board, called the RGB, requires that the president have a residency permit visa before the association can be recognized, even though I have no intention of residing in the country. It took me 3 weeks before the Feast of Tabernacles to jump through all the hoops required to receive a temporary visa. They made it valid for 3 months. When I made a detour in January to have the visa renewed, it was renewed for 2 months. So I had to make a quick trip, about 28 hours of travel each way, to stand in line a few hours to have my visa renewed by the immigration department. I asked them for at least 3 months' validity since I don't live in Rwanda. I didn't hear back from them for several days, so I went in person to inquire about the visa. An immigration official informed me that they would not renew my visa, and I would not receive a permanent residency visa until our church was legally recognized. I protested that the RGB requires me to have the visa first. Her reaction was exactly this. So we drove over to the RGB office across town, of course, and explained what immigration had told us. Their response? One of the agents said, perhaps someone would give us a derogation, but it wouldn't be them. Another agent told Mr. Mondeli in Kinyarwanda, so that I wouldn't understand, that he really shouldn't bring Westerners in on processes like this. We might get a bad impression of how they operate. I have to say, I was a bit ahead of her on that count. Back in immigration, I pressed my case as strongly as I could, and the agent finally relented and told me to come back in the afternoon. They would extend my visa. When I came back, they gave me an extension of my visa, valid for 1 week. So we're caught in a catch-22 situation. I believe God will have to intervene to break this conundrum. But wait, there's more. We believed our building was up to code, so we invited local authorities to verify this. They informed Mr. Mondelli that we lacked 0.025 hectares of land, about 2,500 square feet. Even though we don't need the land, we must buy that much more in order to check that box. They also informed him that our wooden fence had to be replaced by a metal fence, even though that doesn't figure in any of the written requirements that we've seen. Thankfully, my education documents have already been approved because they wanted to see them. They saw my diploma that said theology and my transcript, which showed all the courses that I had taken. The theology courses, the most numerous, had the prefix TH in front of the course numbers. They demanded that we prove that TH means theology. As I said, fortunately, those documents have already been accepted, so we shouldn't have to revisit that. But that's not all. On the 7th of March this year, the Rwandan Governance Board added additional requirements. This is what we have to fulfill now in order to be recognized by the state. We've been forbidden from worshiping God together since last summer, and this will go on until we fulfill all the requirements. But as they keep adding new requirements, the process cannot be completed. Here are some of the new requirements. There is now a non-refundable $1,500 service fee to pay in order to apply. All church functions and ceremonies can only be practiced inside a church building. So no more outdoor weddings or baptisms. We must provide a list of 1,000 names with signatures, ID numbers, and phone numbers, not including our members, from the village, stating that they support our church functioning there. We must provide an action plan aligned with the development priorities of the village. In other words, they expect us to provide funding for their development programs. We must provide a list of, quote, transformative socioeconomic activities, end quote, that we intend to implement. Of course, that means more money. We've been told that the government is just trying to keep Rwandans safe from predatory practices. But many churches, thousands, have been shut down since last year, and now new requirements mean it will be many months before anyone can complete the process. We have a track record of 40 years in Rwanda with never a complaint or a problem, but we're required to go through all of this process. We pray that God will open the door so we can fulfill all the requirements in time so that our brethren will be able to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles together. Please add your prayers to ours. Well, that's all for this week. On behalf of all of us in the headquarters office, I wish you an encouraging Passover and Feast of Unleavened Bread season.